Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Well, good morning, good morning. Are you glad to be in church today? I'm telling you, I am so excited to be here. For those of you who this is your first time or your first time in a really long time, my name is Destiny, and along with my husband, Philip, we're the lead pastors here at North Point Community Church. And we take that community part very, very seriously. And so we want to let you know a couple things that are going on in the community. And the first is this: Johannes Amritzer is going to be coming in the 18th and 19th of this month.
Or it's the 19th and 20th, but yes. You were close. Very good job.
I said the 27th earlier today.
Yeah, I don't have it right. Hey, I want all of the men to hear me today. Johannes Amritzer is going to be with us on Saturday the 19th, and he's going to be sharing with us at our men's breakfast. If you have never been to a men's breakfast, I want you to be at this one. It's going to be a special time. We're going to have a great meal together, and then Johannes is going to spend about 20 or 30 minutes just encouraging us, challenging us, pouring into us. I promise you will leave not just with your belly full, but you will leave with your soul filled up as well. And so, men, I want you to be here. And then that Saturday night at 5 o'clock, we're having a special service as well with Johannes. I encourage you to be here for that. And then Sunday morning at 9:30, 11:15, our normal service times. And this is a tremendous opportunity for you to invite anyone that you know that doesn't typically go to church. Johannes has a tremendous testimony, and he has a heart to reach the lost, those that are disconnected from God. And so it's going to be a powerful weekend with Johannes. And so we want to make sure that you are a part of that weekend.
You know, my favorite thing that he says about himself is that he is called to be a priest to those who don't go to church. And I think that that really says it all about his ministry. Okay, so we just finished our July series, which was called Reset. And Philip just preached right to me for 4 weeks. Anybody else feel that way who was in this series? I know. But one of the quotes that we read during this series really touched me. Every sunset is an opportunity to reset. Every sunset is an opportunity to reset. And I really encourage you, if you were not here during the series, during while we were talking about reset, go ahead and go to the podcast. Listen to the podcast, because it really will speak to you wherever you are in life. We are all in need of a reset.
Amen. And we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Today, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul writes this. He's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, there's a reason Jesus took hold of you. Come on, tell him. There's a reason. There is a reason. We have to press on so that we can take hold of that reason that Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to taking hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's pray one more time before we get into the word. Father, we ask in these next few moments that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray, and with faith and expectation. Everybody said, amen. Well, coming off of our July series of reset, there is a purpose for our reset. We reset so that we can stay on mission. And we believe in staying on mission here. That's why it is the 12th house habit that we have here at North Point Community Church. We stay on mission. And the reason that we stay on mission, we put it there at the end, is because it's like the anchor. It is the anchor for all the other 11 habits. The mission is what brings significance to the other habits, because the mission always answers the question, why? Why do we love big? Why do we honor consistently? Why do we lean in? Why do we live on? Why do we protect unity? Why do we cheer enthusiastically? And you see, in life, you always have to know your why. And your why is always going to revolve around your mission. So in life, without a mission, you will always have a limited direction, and there will be a definite lack of motivation. So each and every one of us, we need to understand that we have a mission, and we need to understand what that mission is so that we can have a direction and the motivation we need to get there. The truth of it is that people can give you the what, they can give you the how, they can give you the when, but it is the why. It is the mission that we must all grab a hold of, because the mission is what gives you purpose for your pain. We will all experience pain, but the mission allows you to take the purpose out of your pain. The mission will also give you strength in the midst of your struggle. Whenever you are going through a difficult time, whenever you are on mission, it gives you the strength that you need to endure and persevere and get through whatever you are going through, because you know that there is a purpose to the pain and you need that strength in the midst of your struggle.
And, you know, the church has a mission. And sometimes that's easy for us to say, okay, well, the church has a mission. But we have a mission, too. Individually, we each have a mission. And this is the great news. It's the same mission. It's the same mission. Because the church and us are not separate. We are the church. And so the mission of the church and the mission that we have as individuals is the same mission. And throughout the Bible, there's all kinds of scriptures that tell us about the mission that we are all on, the purpose behind our pain. And I just want to read four scriptures that help to inform our mission. The first is this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're looking for a morning motivation scripture, I don't think you can get any better than that. New creature. Old has passed away. The new has come. And then in Matthew 28, we see the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you to do. Wow, what an incredible mission. What an incredible purpose that God has given us there. And then Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be like everybody else. Don't look around and say, well, I guess that's the standard. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another translation says, change your life by changing the way that you think. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. I love that picture because I know artists take great pride in what they create. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Such beautiful scriptures, and you can pull different scriptures throughout the Bible. The overall story of the Bible speaks to our mission, and so we've taken those, and we've just put them into something that is really easy to say, a mission statement that we can grab onto that reminds us of everything that we have read, and it's this, creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And we love saying that together whenever we say it. Creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And so over the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into our mission. We're going to dive into our mission. We're going to talk about the purpose behind our pain. We're going to talk about what drives us forward. We're going to talk about what we have to stay on so that we can get to the end. And you know, that first scripture talked about being a new creature, being a new creature. And that's true. Whenever we accept Jesus, and if you're still a Jesus seeker and you haven't decided yet if you're going to be a Jesus follower, this is what happens. When you decide you're going to be a Jesus follower, you become a new creature. You become a new creature. And that's exciting. But that's the beginning of the journey and not the end. You know, Jesus used the metaphor of being born again. But we all know that birth is not the end of the story. Birth is the beginning of the journey. And the kind of life and the kind of world that this new creature is going to live in is up to you. See, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and empowers our decisions and guides us into all truth. But we have to decide that we're going to get into the messy business of creating.
That's true.
And creating is messy. Creating a business is messy. Creating a family is messy. Creating a piece of art is messy. Creating a meal is messy. We all understand that creating is messy. And when it gets messy, we can kind of have a tendency to think that we're doing it wrong, that somehow we've messed up, that it's just not going very well, when in reality, it's just the process. It's just the process to progress. It's just part of creating. And you know, the thing is that when it gets messy, you'll want to quit. So you're going to need grit.
Yeah.
You're going to want to quit. You know, I have so many people who will come and they're so excited. They're like, I met Jesus. And then it gets messy. They start having to deal with their issues. Those didn't just go away. And they start having to deal with maybe consequences of a life that they've lived, or suddenly they have to deal with other Christians. Suddenly they're having to work out this salvation, and they want to quit.
Yeah.
But that's when you need grit.
Come on.
That's when you need grit. That's when you need to hold on to the mission. In Galatians 6, Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, and he is imploring them not to quit. And to have some grit. And this is what he says. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. That means they were getting tired of doing what is good. And so he tells them, don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So as we start this whole mission statement, I want to say this. You can't give up. Living on mission is a lifetime experience. But it's an experience that says, at just the right time, I'm going to reap a harvest if I don't give up. If I just keep doing the right thing, if I keep diving into the messy business of creating, if I keep believing that God is going to stand in the gap for me, that my mistakes don't disqualify me from serving Him, if I will just keep going, I will reap a harvest.
You know, it's interesting, Destiny, talking now about the importance of this concept of creating. And yet, whenever we say our mission statement together out loud, it's the word that always gets left off. When you say, we like to say it out loud, everybody just waits. And whoever's on the microphone says, creating. And then everybody joins in, Christ-centered, culture-changing community. But nobody ever says creating with us. It's like we're all alone in creating. But here's the reality is that creating is so essential because you cannot live a Christ-centered life without creating. You do not get to experience a culture-changing existence without creating. And you will not experience the community that God created you to have without creating. You cannot get into the mission without understanding the essential and the important factor of me having to create this thing in my life. And creating typically happens when we admit things need to change. Oh, come on. That's whenever you begin to create a new plan, whenever you realize my last plan's not working. You begin to create a new department in your business whenever you realize that part of your business is failing. I've got to create some because I've got problems and I've got issues. And so typically there has to be something that's failing in order for me to begin this creation process. And this is what the scripture said that we read a moment ago. The old has passed away and the new has come. The New Living Translation says it this way. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. You can't hold on to the old and create the new. Something has to give. You cannot hang on to the old and create the new. Something has to give. And our mission, the mission of every believer, is creating our new life around the one who is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the mission for everyone that has believed in the name of Jesus, everyone that has called upon Jesus to be Lord and be Savior, our mission is to create this new life that revolves completely and totally around the one who is life, Jesus Christ. And so today, as we talk about our mission, we're going to talk about this first part of creating Christ-centered, creating Christ-centered. And the Bible tells us this, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. He is the thing that sets the direction for our foundation. He is the foundation. He must be what we build our lives on. I want you to hear me very clearly this morning. Christianity is not our hobby. Being a Christian is our identity. Christianity is not our hobby. Being a Christian is our identity. You don't add Christ to your spare time. You live your life centered around Christ all the time. You can't create an extra room in your already existing way of life for Jesus to occupy. You see, you have to build your whole life on the foundation of Jesus. Jesus is not the addition, he is the foundation. And that's why he said, it is a new life. He didn't say about give me extra time or give me a new room or build this new way into your life. No, he said, I am the foundation. And that means that everything in your life must begin again. You have to begin your way of thinking on this foundation, your way of acting on this foundation, your way of behaving on this foundation, your way of interacting with your spouse and your coworkers on this foundation. You have to begin to build everything in your life on this foundation. And you know, in Louisiana, we have a lot of interesting words. And one of the words that we have here in Louisiana, it's a word called lanyap. And lanyap is a little something extra. Jesus isn't interested in being the lanyap of your life. Jesus only settles for being the Lord of your life. He is not the thing that is added into your life. He is the thing that your life must be built on. So when we talk about creating Christ-centered, let's just be very clear. We are talking about a life that is clearly defined and established upon the Word of God and upon the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So what does it mean that we as a church are creating Christ-centered? What does it mean that we as a church are creating Christ-centered? It means that we're going to care about the things that Jesus cared about, not just the stuff that makes us comfortable. We're going to care about the things that Jesus cared about, not just what makes us comfortable. It's not about what I like. It's about who he loves.
Come on.
It's not about what I like. It's about who he loves. Jesus loves the world. Jesus loves the world. And church always has to be about the next. Has to be about the next. It has to be. Has to be about the next generation. It has to be about the next person. It has to be about the next family. It has to be about the next need. It has to be about the next, because church is not for me. I am the church.
Come on.
And so once I go from being a Jesus seeker to a Jesus follower, I now have an obligation to create Christ-centered, not just in my life, but in my church. And so here we focus on children because Jesus focuses on kids. He says we're supposed to have childlike faith. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He cares about kids. We focus on those who don't have as much as we have. And that's relative. The poor in this country are wealthier than those who are poor in some other countries. This is a true story. You know what? That's great news because that means we all have an opportunity to give generously. It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Isn't it beautiful that God has created a world where we can all participate with Him and give what's in our hand to love those around us? Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing. We love to focus on those who don't have as much as we have. And then we want to focus on those who haven't met Jesus yet. Because we think that's the most important thing in the world. We unashamedly believe that that is the most important thing in the world. To focus on those who have not met Jesus yet. Creating Christ-centered means that we confront hard issues. We talk about them. We may not talk about them perfectly, but we start talking about them. We confront hard issues like racism and sexism and classism and perpetual poverty. We confront issues like mean religion because we believe that Jesus went out of his way to show us that love is not love until it includes everyone. When we say that we want heaven to come, and we understand that the Bible says that every tongue, every knee will bow, every knee will confess. When we understand that Jesus Christ says in his word that there's no longer Greek or Hebrew or male or female in Christ. Yep. When we understand come on, come on. That he says that we're not to be a respecter of persons because he's not a respecter of persons, suddenly we understand as a church that we have no choice except to confront the issues of our day just like Jesus confronted the issues of his day. And it may be uncomfortable and it may be difficult and it may be messy, but guess what? That's what creating Christ-centered in church looks like.
Come on, so good, so good.
Why? Because this is not a country club, and this is not a social club. This is a rally point, a weekly rally point, and a training ground for world changers. Because that's who you are. You are world changers. We are world changers. The Holy Spirit in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The Holy Spirit in us is the same Holy Spirit that was given to 120 in an upper room and that today sees over 2 billion people believing in the name of Jesus. That Holy Spirit has already changed the world. So why wouldn't we believe that he can do through us what he has already done through others?
So good.
That's what creating Christ-centered in church looks like. We're not focused on what makes us feel good or gives us a happy experience. I will tell you, there is music that I listen to during the week that we do not sing on Sundays. you just have to know that. There are sermons that I listen to during the week because I want to hear another perspective. But when I come in here, I'm not coming in for an experience. I'm coming in for an encounter with God and with his church and to get fired up and excited about going back into my world and doing the work of the church. And so you may say, well, where can I learn a little bit more about this? We have some very practical steps for that. We don't want to just fire you up and then send you out, okay? So Growth Track is our way that we help you understand a little bit more about how this church creates Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. And there's so many churches throughout this area that create Christ Center, but how we do it, what we're all about. And that's just a four-week course. It actually starts today. It starts over every month. That's right after this service in room 105, which is right down the hallway. They just have a table, and you just sit around it. And Pastor Clarissa, our connections pastor, stand up, Pastor Clarissa.
Come on. Woo!
She takes you through exactly what this church is about. And if you haven't gone through, I encourage you. If you're a Jesus seeker, I encourage you. Check out what it's all about. Because it's important that you know what you're getting into. Because we have a mission. And we want you to be a part of it.
Amen. As Destiny just talked about, what does it mean for the church to be Christ-centered? Now, we want to just take the last few moments that we have together and talk about what does it mean for you to be Christ-centered? What does it mean for you as an individual to be Christ-centered? The first thing is this, is that there will be a challenge. There will be a challenge. If you are going to live a life that is Christ-centered, you need to know that there will be a challenge. Being Christ-centered will challenge your politics, your prejudices, and your preconceptions. Being Christ-centered will challenge your habits, challenge your motives. It will challenge your self-image because the scripture says that you will be a new creation. That means that he messes with it all. Nothing is off limits whenever you become a new creation. I was 23 years old. I was the youth pastor at Shreveport Community Church. I had been preaching the gospel since I was 18 years old. I loved Jesus with all of my heart, but I was not very interested in the world beyond the borders of the United States of America. I was not very interested in other languages and in other cultures. And to be honest, it's not that I just wasn't interested. Honestly, I didn't even really care until one night when God challenged me. God challenged my thinking. God challenged my prejudices. God challenged some of my preconceptions. God showed up and he challenged me. And there was this pastor that came who had been all over the world, and he had preached a message out of Psalm chapter 2, verse 8 that said, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance." And at the end of that service, he gave an altar call for those people that felt like they were called to the nations to come forward and to be prayed over. I never will forget, I was sitting right there on the front row at SCC, and he gave the altar call, and of course, I didn't move because I knew I'm not going outside of the U.S. I love the United States of America, and I love Jesus, and I'll just do everything I have to do within the context of this country. And I was not moved. And he continued to pray. He said, "I just don't feel like everybody's here." He said, "I just want you to look inside of your heart and see, is something in there stirring? Maybe you think," and he just like starts, like it feels like he's talking right to me. He's like, "Maybe you have thought all the way up to this night, you'll never go outside the United States. Maybe you're not comfortable with other nations. Maybe you're not." And I'm just like, "Oh, well, maybe he's talking to me right now. I mean, it sure sounds a lot like me that he's saying all these things." And he said, is God stirring something in you? And he said, "I'm not asking for a commitment, but if you think maybe possibly God is doing something new in you, will you just step forward?" And I never will forget, I thought, wow, I am feeling something. He just kind of talked about me. Let's just go up and see if God does anything. And I walked up to the front of that place, and that night is a night that changed my life, because I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And it was there as I was praying that all of a sudden in my mind, I started seeing the faces of all the world flashing before me. And I just saw all the people groups. And it was an absolute amazing experience. I just began to cry, and I began to weep right there, and I began to say, "God, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will preach wherever you want me to preach." You see, it was that night that God stepped in, and God challenged me in a brand new way. And if you're going to follow God, you should expect to be challenged on a regular basis. Right. And there's something you need to know about the challenge of God, is it's always personal. It's always personal. Whenever I'm standing at the door and people are walking out and they say, "Well, you're stepping on my toes today," I know what they mean. God got personal with them. Yeah. Yeah. They say, wow, you were speaking right to me. I know what they were saying. That word was not for my neighbor. That word was not for the person sitting across the way. It was personal for me. And whenever you decide that you are going to live a Christ-centered existence, you need to expect God to show up and challenge you in a personal way. There's one trap that we can all fall in as we begin to be challenged, and that is the trap of comparison. We can fall into the trap of comparison, and we can start saying, well, it's fine for them to act like that. Why is it not okay for me now? Why is it not okay for me to think that way, for me to talk that way? Why is it not okay for me to have this input in my life? Because it's fine for them. And here is the reality. When you decide to live a life that is Christ-centered, you cannot look at what other people are doing. You have to just focus on what Jesus wants to do in you. Because there will come a moment when everybody else can gossip, but you can't gossip anymore. There comes a moment when other people can watch certain shows and certain movies, but it's not okay for you anymore. There comes a moment when other people that you know go to church, and sure, they love God and all that stuff, and they can tell dirty jokes, but there comes a moment when something happens on the inside of you, and it's like, that's just not okay for me anymore, and I don't even understand why, but there's a challenge that has stepped in, and it's the challenge of God and the challenge of the Holy Spirit to begin to elevate our living, not according to what He's calling somebody else to live, but the way that He is calling us to live. You see, as long as we are more concerned about justifying the old than we are creating the new, we will not allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us the way that He wants to through the Word of God and through His people. If we are more concerned about justifying our old way, justifying our old thoughts, justifying our old behaviors, justifying our old habits. If we are more concerned about justifying the old than we are creating the new, we will not allow the Holy Spirit to do the full work that He wants to do through the Word of God and through the Church of Jesus Christ. But whenever we are focused on the mission of creating Christ-centered, whenever that becomes our driving force, whenever that becomes our heartbeat, all I want to be is Christ-centered, then let me tell you, you will begin to welcome the challenge. You'll begin to welcome the challenge on Sunday morning. You'll begin to welcome the challenge on Wednesday nights. You'll begin to welcome the challenge every time you open up the Word of God. You'll begin to welcome the challenge with every podcast you listen to, with every devotion you read. You'll begin to welcome the challenge. You'll begin to invite the challenge. You'll begin to ask God, God, challenge me today. Challenge me in such a way that I will know that the Holy Spirit is pushing me towards creating the new and not justifying the old.
So creating Christ-centered looks like being challenged, being open to being challenged, but it also looks like a choice. It also looks like a choice. James 1, 22 through 25 says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You know, sometimes it's easy to hear a challenging message and just feel good about yourself for being challenged. You know? It's like you walk into church or somebody says something to you and you're like, man, that really hits me. That feels good. And then we just walk away. You know, this scripture has always confused me, but as we were writing this sermon, it kind of dawned on me. That's really what happens. We see a picture of ourselves. Bam! We see a picture of ourselves maybe doing more in our community. We see a picture of ourselves being forgiving. We see a picture of ourselves being more loving. We see this picture of ourselves. We're challenged. Bam! But then we have a choice. Then we have a choice. Are we going to choose to do it God's way? Or are we going to walk back and do it again our way? Are we going to choose to do it God's way? And that's an important part of the process of creating Christ-centered. And you know, it's usually the same enemy to our challenge that messes up our choice, and it's comparison. It's comparison. Who do you want to be? Not who do you want other people to be, but who do you want to be? When Philip and I first got married, I'm a little bit of a helper. That's just my tendency. I really want to help all the people, all the time, all the things. And that's why I have a really hard time saying no. My mother-in-law bought me a book very early in our marriage that said how to stop being a people pleaser. I was like, that was subtle. So that's awesome. But you know, I'm a helper, and so I was doing things for people, and I was being there for them in a certain way, and I was making myself available, and they were not reciprocating. And I was getting frustrated. I don't understand. I do all of this, and they just... And Philip sat me down, and he looked at me, and he said, from this moment on, we will do everything that we are going to do for anyone else because it's who we want to be and not because it's what we want them to do. Okay. It's about who do I want to be. It's not about whether it hurts Philip or not to watch TV. It's about who do I want to be. It doesn't matter if my mom forgives me. It's about who do I want to be. What choice am I making today? Yeah. You know, somebody told me today, they said, I want to start a small group. They've been here for a while, and they said, I want to start a small group. And with tears in their eyes, they said, I want to be a small group, part of the small group. I want to start a small group because I want to be a part. Not because you're pressuring me to do something. Not because you're pushing me. Not because my friends started a small group. Not because I just think that's the next step. But because I have decided who I want to be. And I have made a choice that I'm going to walk that out in my life. See, our choice has to be about us and Jesus. It has to be about us and Jesus. That's what creating Christ-centered looks like. We are challenged, and then we make a choice. And it's not about anybody else. It's just about Jesus.
And if we're going to choose to be Christ-centered, the last thing that there will have to be in our lives is there will have to be change. There will have to be change. The evidence of being Christ-centered is change in our lives. And it's not just outward change. It's not just changing on the outside, it's also changing on the inside. Many times people, when they feel like they come to Christ, they feel like, I got to stop doing this, stop doing, stop doing, stop doing, stop doing, stop doing. But let me tell you this, if you don't change on the inside, eventually your outside's not going to be able to keep up. And what you started on the outside will fail because the change on the inside is not strong enough to hold up the outside. And so it's not that I just have to change all these external things. No, I have to change the internal things. I have to change my thinking. I have to change my attitude. I have to change my behavior. Why? Because whenever I change on the inside, it's going to begin to show on the outside. But there must be concrete change. If we are going to call ourselves Christ-centered individuals, that change must be evident in all of our lives. It's great to be challenged, and it's necessary to make a choice, but there must be change. And for me, after I was challenged that night that I was just telling you about a moment ago. I was challenged that night, and I made a choice. I made a choice, and I said, God, I will go wherever you want me to go. But it wasn't until a year later when I got on a plane and I flew to India to preach for 3 weeks. It was as if my action brought the challenge and the choice to life. And that's what, whenever you decide to change, that's what will happen for you as well. It is the action that brings the challenge and the choice to life. And that experience, it brought about lasting change for me, because now it wasn't that I just went to India some 12 years ago. Now it's that I have preached in almost 20 countries around the world. And it all happened because one night, I was challenged by God in a way that I had never been challenged before. I made a choice that I'm going to begin to move differently in my future. And then I said, God, I need some concrete change. And that change is going to be the first opportunity I have to leave the United States of America and go on a trip to preach the gospel. I am going to go. And isn't it amazing that the same man that preached the message 1 year later called me and said, Philip, I've been praying about who I should take on this trip with me to India. And he says, your name just keeps coming up. Have you ever been outside the United States? I said, no, I have never been. He said, would you like to go with me to India? I said, I've just been waiting for your call. Because I've accepted the challenge and I've made the choice, but there always has to be concrete change. Change will require you to take actions many times when they do not fit with your emotions. You have to take action even when it doesn't fit with your emotions. Whenever God begins to challenge you about forgiving that brother, and you feel challenged, and then you have a time of prayer, and you make a choice, God, I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to forgive him. Then there has to be the concrete change of saying, God, I forgive him, not based upon what he has said, not based upon what he has done. And you know what? I might not even feel it all the way that I thought it was going to feel. So many people feel like I've got to feel it on the inside to do it on the outside. No, so much of our change comes about whenever I take the step of faith and action, even when my emotions don't measure up. I'm not going to speak to my wife that way. That does not mean that I'm not going to be angry. It doesn't mean that my temper is just gonna go away because I said a prayer. No, it means that I have made a choice that when my emotions don't match up with my actions, I'm still going to act the right way, and I'm gonna trust that eventually my emotions are going to get in line. But I'm not gonna let my emotions drive my life and be the catapult for my actions. No, I'm going to take control of my actions, and I'm gonna cause my emotions to get in line. Sometimes those things take time. They don't just happen overnight. But here's the thing that all of us say, I want to be Christ-centered. Don't leave out that word create. Don't leave out that word create. What's our ultimate goal? Our ultimate goal is that we could say what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20. And this is what he said. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The ultimate goal for every follower of Christ says it is no longer about me. It's about him. It's not about my opinion. It's about his opinion. It's not about my way, it's about his way. The old person has died. The old person is gone. The old has passed away. And behold, everything has become new. And my new life is built upon his opinion and his way and his word and his thoughts. That's the way my new life is being established. He says, so I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. That's where we live as followers of Christ. Christ-centered, trusting God in a way that we have never trusted him before. That's the ultimate goal for every person that wants to be Christ-centered. Our mission is creating Christ-centered. Creating Christ-centered. And a Christ-centered life cannot be a me-centered life. And that demands change from all of us. You don't have to create me-centered. You were born with that. But you have to create Christ-centered. You have to work hard to create a life that revolves around the one who is life. You have to work hard to create a Christ-centered existence. You have to be willing to be challenged. You have to be willing to make a choice. And then you have to be willing to see concrete change be established in your life. There are things that are going to have to change. Your schedule's going to have to change. If you want to be Christ-centered, your schedule's going to have to change. Your priorities are going to have to change. Your words are going to have to change. Your attitudes are going to have to change. If you want to live a life that is Christ-centered, you are going to have to reset everything in your life, because I've lived me-centered. I've lived for my convenience. I've lived for me, but now I'm saying that's not me anymore. I want my life to be focused and centered around Him, so that causes me to break down everything that I've ever known and begin to build a brand new existence that says it's all about your priority. It's all about your focus. It's all about what you think is important, not what I think is important. And that must be created each and every day. Won't you stand with me this morning and bow your heads just for a moment? Because this is what I believe. I believe right now, through the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has come to challenge. I believe the Holy Spirit has come to challenge some attitudes and behaviors, challenge some thought processes. I believe the Holy Spirit has come today to challenge maybe some prejudice and some preconceived ideas. And I believe in this moment, there are going to be some people that make a choice. To make a choice and say, I'm not going to speak this way. I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to act this way. I'm not going to respond this way anymore. Even right now, as the Holy Spirit is challenging you, you feel inspired and motivated that you are going to make a choice. And I believe out of this moment right here, there's going to come some concrete change. I believe that some of us are going to change some things in our homes. We're going to change the way we manage our time. We're going to change the way we lead our employees. I believe out of this moment right here, out of this divine moment, there's going to come some Christ-centered change, because you're going to create it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You see, before you can be Christ-centered, Christ has to be invited. Christ has to be received. Jesus doesn't come and bust the door down of your life. No, no, no. He has to be invited in to be Lord, invited in to be Savior. And today you say, wow, Philip, this sounds great. This Holy Spirit that's going to come in and empower me to change and allow me to create this new life, that I can experience peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable. This life that you speak of, that's free from sin and bondage. This life that you speak of, this is the life that I want. But before we can be Christ-centered, we must first be found in Christ. And today, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you have never invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, if you've never surrendered your life to the Savior, if you've never said, God, I give you my past, I give you my future, I give you my sin, and I give you my successes, I give you everything that I am. If you've never prayed that prayer to invite Jesus in, and you say, today is my day. Today is the day when I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. You're not going to come down forward right there where you are. I believe that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to meet you right there. And today is going to be your day of stepping out of darkness into light, stepping out of death into life. I believe that it is going to be your day. And you say, Philip, today is the day I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, come on, lift up your hand right now. You say, I've never done that before. I've never prayed that prayer before. If that's you, thank you. Thank you. I've never prayed that prayer before. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I've never prayed that prayer. Thank you. But today is that day for me. Come on, you can put your hands down. I know there's some other people in this place. And you've prayed that prayer before, And maybe you come to church on a regular basis. Maybe you have a desire to do the right thing. But today, if you're honest, there's some areas of your life that are just not Christ-centered. Just not Christ-centered. And today you say, I need to put Jesus where he belongs, and I need to put him in the center. And I've got to create that in my life. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to happen just because I come to church. It's not just going to happen because I lift my hand. It's not just going to happen because I sing a worship song every now and then. It's not just going to happen. I've got to create this Christ-centered existence. And today you say, I feel challenged. Today I'm making a choice. And you say, today I'm ready to see some concrete change in my life. If that is you today, and you say, that is the life that I want to live. It's the life that I will not settle for anything less than a life that is Christ-centered, and I'm willing to create that. Come on, if that's you, come on, just lift your hand today all over this place, just as a sign to God to say, God, I'm all in with this. I'm ready. Challenge me, Holy Spirit. I'm ready to make the tough choices today, Holy Spirit. I'm ready to see some concrete change. I'm tired of being the same way. I'm ready for some old things to pass away, and I'm ready to begin to create this new life. This new life that he has for me. Come on, with your hands lifted, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your grace, your love, and your forgiveness. And I declare that you are Lord and that you are Savior. And with all of my heart, I want to put you at the center of my life. I want everything to revolve around you. Holy Spirit, come and challenge me. Enable me to make the right choices. And I'm ready to see concrete change come to pass in my life. Now, Father, I pray all over this place, as we worship you, God, as we lift up our hearts and we lift up our voices, Holy Spirit, we give you permission to continue to challenge us, continue to put choices before us, and bring about the change that only you can bring in all of our lives. Empower us to create a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your hearts and let's worship.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.